Pro Football Network. Aaron Rodgers, Jets resuscitate playoffs chances with second half domination. That's a headline from Pro Football Network. New York Times, how the Jets can make the playoffs through week 8. Sports Illustrated, Jets playoff odds surge after win over Texans, but it's a sucker's bet. Sportskeeda, can the Jets make the playoffs after a 2-6 start? Breaking down New York's chances. It creates optimism when you hit 3-6 because you're like, oh, maybe we can get back to 6-6, and then we'll see what happens. I think most people, when they look at the Browns, are looking at what's, you know, really what's on that schedule and who's out there. And we played a little bit of the schedule game yesterday. But, you know, I'm looking at theirs and, you know, now their chances have moved up to 11%, their chance to make it. Or, I don't know, somebody had it on Reddit. It was like, why do the Jets have such high playoff chances? If you go to the NFL's playoff picture, it gives the Jets a 22% chance of making the playoffs. PFN says 37% chance of making the playoffs. That was just out an hour ago on Jets Nation.
Huzzah!
So you tell me, my friend, why would the Jets be more apt to make the playoffs than the Browns at 3-6?
I mean, I don't totally get it. I think it's a boatload of people being like, well, you know, they have Aaron Rodgers. And now they have Devontae Adams. And now they've got Garrett Wilson. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't solve the fact that their offense is horrible. And it's just a bunch of slants and go balls and one-on-one plays and let's hope for the best. Like, it's a lot of that stuff. And their defense is just okay. Maybe Hassan Reddick coming back turns that around a bit. But it's basically Leonard Williams and a lot of older players than you would expect. I don't understand it. It feels like a lot of people just hoping and wishing to have Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs so that you have more content. Like, that's kind of what it seems like. I don't see them as a playoff team. I just don't. And I hate to sound like that jerk, and I hate to be the wet blanket. I don't see the Browns as that playoff team either. Even with Jameis at the helm, even with how good that offense looks, I want to hit Jameis out there. I want him to play that well because that means the rest of this season is a blast to watch. Watching Jameis Winston play football is a roller coaster ride, and the roller coaster is at least far more fun than sitting there on a pond with no waves, just not moving at all. Basically, just being in Tommy Boy at the very beginning of it with him in the sailboat. Like, I would rather ride the roller coaster and have my stomach drop up and down than to just stand there like Tommy Boy, really hoping the wind blows soon.
Let me go back to our original question, just to kind of refocus here, right? We're asking this question, a win on Sunday does what? I think a win on Sunday continues the optimism. I think you hit the nail on the head at the beginning of the show. Will they trade Za'Darius Smith, maybe, if he's ready for the trade and it sounds like he's preparing himself. And, you know, if somebody offers the Browns something good for a talented player who might return some kind of draft pick, when you kind of look at the reality of can the Browns make the playoffs, it would seem when the season ends and they miss the playoffs or they're just out of the playoffs, it does seem silly not to trade some of these folks. Because it doesn't matter if you miss the playoffs by, you know, one win or 10 wins. You go back, you're just not in. You're either in or not. And so should they trade him? Probably. As of right now, even if they win, they probably should trade some of these guys who are one-year contracts who they truly believe that they don't really care if they come back or not next year. But, you know, a guy like Za'Darius helps your team. He can help you win now. And are you fighting for 9? Are you fighting for 10? It's a long road. You're 8 wins away from that. I think it's difficult, especially for Andrew Berry, that, you know, has preached 1,000 times, we look at this as 17 seasons. Every game is its own unique and individual season. And if you're going to accept that and you really, really want to live by that, then you're probably not trading unless you're making an upgrade. You're not trading for future draft picks. You're trading to upgrade. I would be hard-pressed to see if the Browns make a trade for an upgrade on Tuesday. There'd be buyers. With a win. With a loss, it would make no sense at all.
No,
none.
It seems like at the deadline, you got two options. It's going to be sell or stay pat.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it's going. And even sell, it's NFL sell. It's not like we're talking, you know, like we're
it's
just,
not baseball or basketball.
Yeah, it's not baseball or basketball where you're just unloading everything. It's football sell. Like, I don't think we're going to see, like, anybody of significance seriously get traded. Like, Zach Jackson did a great job in The Athletic this morning laying out who he think could possibly be there. Za'Darius Smith and Dalvin Tomlinson are the two that he threw out. He's like, there's no way they trade Nick Chubb. This city would riot. And he is 100% right. If they traded Nick Chubb, it would be torches and pitchforks. And going all the way to Berea. And who knows if we would go full-blown French Revolution, but boy, it would be on the table. I can't see them moving on from Jameis Winston. I don't think you're going to get enough of a package to make it worth it. Maybe Elijah Moore. Okay, fine. That would make some level of sense that you would do that. I just don't know what the return is for Elijah Moore. And they might look at the return and go, eh, I'd rather just keep Elijah Moore. So I think that's what we're looking at. Is it's basically like, okay, Dalvin Tomlinson, Za'Darius Smith, because they have no more guaranteed money on their contracts past this year, which means it's easier for another team to figure out what to do with them too. And you could get something substantial back. And so those are the two that I would circle. And if that's your full-blown sale, that doesn't mean you've tanked the season. It doesn't mean you're done. Like, you have a ton of depth at defensive tackle. You don't have as much depth as defensive end. That's where it would bite you a little bit. But it's not like it would completely crater your defense to get rid of those two guys. That's NFL sell. You know, that's the difference of it, is it wouldn't be a, like, full-blown white flag. But, I mean, this is the other part of this. Okay. I'm going to throw you a curveball because it just popped in my head.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay?
Okay.
What would you rather do?
Would you rather the playoffs.
Would you rather go 8-7? Or no, bad math. Sorry. Would you rather go 7-9? It'd be 7-10 because 17 games.
Oh, yeah, 7-10. Sorry, I'm old school.
7-10 or 8-9, right? So one of those two and be on the outside looking in. But you'd have a really fun time getting there. And it'd be an up-and-down football, and every Sunday would be watchable. Or would you rather go 4-13? Have the pick. We're having a long conversation about Cam Ward. We're trying to talk ourselves into Quinn Ewers. We're having a long conversation about possibly Drew Aller coming out, right? Which one of those two options do you want as a fan?
Well, I think as a fan, I lean towards 8-9.
Okay.
I lean just to think that maybe you're 2 weeks out at the end of the season and you're like, well, maybe we can get to 10 wins. Maybe we can go, 10-7, right? If you're just, you know, you're in the
right.
final
you're,
weeks.
You're riding the roller coaster. Nothing on your schedule is getting flexed out because your team isn't unwatchable or flat out bad. Instead, you're rolling your schedule. You got your primetime games, and you're sitting there every
it's
week.
It's about competitive football.
Seeing
like, I
in the
see,
hunt and the Cleveland Browns in the hunt in week 16.
I want to see competitive football, and I want to believe that next year, you know, even after this horrible start, and again, they're not dead until they tell them they're dead. But even after a horrible start, I want to believe that next year that there are a lot of good things that we can look forward to next season, that we can – I think the quarterback thing is just going to loom like a big dark cloud over the city for the next 2 years. It just is, and I don't know if there's any way around it. Now, one of the ways is if DTR or Jameis just has, like, you know, a Hall of Fame year and is able to help this team win, and they could go on a 5-game winning streak or 6-game winning streak, although I got to look and see where Kansas City is in that mix, but you know, if you had one of those things and you have hope for next year and you believe that, okay, we figured out what the problem was and, you know, maybe it was the play calling. Maybe it was or maybe Kevin is coming up with a good game plan, but, you know, Ken is doing a better job of implementing it on game day. I need hope towards the future. That's right. What I want. I want to be able to say, look at this team. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Like the Cincinnati game, I was dreading. I was like, this is just going to be bad. And by the way, both teams were really bad that game. It was hard to watch. What's really going to bother me is at the end of the season, if they end up, 8-9, and I'm always going to look back and go, they should have won that Cincinnati game. I don't know what they were thinking. What they knew that things weren't going in the right direction. If they just would have just pulled the trigger and switched quarterbacks even before the game, that maybe we would have had a chance to win. Because at that point, if you've got that many wins, that would have mean that Jameis exceeded expectations.
So, I get what you're saying.
What do you want? Do you want 4-10? 4-13, sorry.
Well, so let's just lay this out. So the analytics department would come to you and tell you that you should just flop this thing. Get the highest possible pick that you can.
I'm not telling professional athletes to flop. And I'm also,
again,
in my right mind, like, this drives me crazy about this stuff. Like, I can't in good conscience say to my and start, you know, I hire a coach because I believe that they're a coach that can help my team win. And I know that we want to look towards the future, and I want to give them that team down the road to make sure he can win. But to me, to start selling off pieces to make sure we lose, I just don't agree.
It
goes against everything in sports, man. I don't agree
with that analytical thought.
Okay?
I cannot state that enough. I'm laying out all your options here, okay? The analytics department. That's what they would come back to you and tell you. What you laid out is 100% right. The other perfect example, if you've ever heard Michael Lombardi go off on the Philadelphia 76ers, who he's been a fan of all the time, in saying that all that tanking and all of that losing has warped the mind of Joel Embiid and has warped the work ethic and has worked all that stuff. And look, whatever your opinion is on Michael Lombardi, it's a really interesting point that you could say that kind of thing, that, hey, this doesn't build a culture of winning. This, because of all the losing that came before, the culture of winning was never set. And now you're in this funky place where they're good, but he only plays 55 games a year and whatever else comes from that, and seems to have issues in the playoffs. Okay? So that's the problem that comes with tanking. The other side of it is this is the NFL. You can turn this bad boy around in 2 years. You could turn this thing around really fast.
But would you rather be the Steelers that never have the bad year?
Exactly.
I think I would, because they're competitive every season, and you know, you walk into a year like this year with the Steelers where everyone's like, Steelers aren't going anywhere, they're a fourth place team, and now look where they are.
Exactly.
You know, and then all of a sudden they pulled the trigger, maybe they brought the right quarterback in, and now you're scared of everything with Pittsburgh.
So that's the other option. You know, that's option two, where it's basically like, okay, we're going to ride this thing out. We are going to instill a culture of winning. We are going to instill a culture of greatness. And what we are going to do here is continue the path that we are on that has led to two playoff appearances in the last 4 years, which is a hell of a lot better than anything the Browns have done before then. And so I think that is the door that you want to go. And so if that is the case, I'm not trading away a Za'Darius Smith. I'm not trading away a Dalvin Tomlinson, because I'm looking at this and going, I need to win two more because I want to instill a culture of winning in Cleveland. I don't want to instill a culture of tanking that I have to change the thought process and hope for the best doesn't instill into my culture.
A win on Sunday does what? 216-474-0092.